I'd like to welcome those of you who have joined us tonight, Vine Grove Baptist Church, for our Sunday evening Bible study. Hope and pray you join the worship with us tonight in spirit and in truth. Brother Randy Kidder, lead us in a word of prayer, please.
Let's pray. Father, it is so good to be in your house to hear your word proclaimed. Lord, we ask that you just allow us to just take in the word, Father, but Lord, make it part of who we are. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Tonight we're going to be looking at how should I live in this world? And that first verse is going to open up a lot of questions for us. So let me read it. 1 John 2 verse 6. Anyone who says he's a Christian should live as Christ did. Now, there's not anybody in here that's going to say that you can live perfect. So what's John talking about? Let me read it again. Anyone who says he's a Christian should live as Christ did. Now, Jesus Christ, the Son of Almighty God, comes to earth. He comes to earth for a purpose. The whole purpose of Christ coming to earth was to die. Whole purpose was to die for us, to conquer death for us, to pay the penalty of our sins for us. Now, here's what he did. He came to earth and he lived as a human being. So we must live as Christ lived. I have heard so many young Christians, and I'm not talking about age, I'm talking about those young to the faith, that would say, you know, I've been told many times that all I need to do is come and ask Jesus for forgiveness and accept him as Lord, and everything is going to be great from that point on. It wasn't great physically and all for Jesus. Jesus had nothing but trial and tribulation from before he was born. Then he dealt with it. He dealt with life. He walked through life. Not only did he just walk in life and walk through life, he was conquering life for you and me. Now here's something about our salvation, how great it is. Just a fraction of how great it is. Jesus not only lived his life, he lived my life. Meaning that Jesus had, when he accepted the punishment for my sins, he had to accept the actual punishment for my particular sins. He had to do that for all that would ever live. So not only did he have to deal with the human condition from the Son of God standpoint, as Jesus Christ, he dealt with it throughout every life that would ever live. Now, that's how much he loved us. So it's just not him taking, well, you know, Jesus had a lot on his shoulders. Yeah, he sure did. It's called the weight of the world. The weight of existence was all on the shoulders of our Savior. So what John is saying is, anyone who says he's a Christian should live as Christ did. Meaning, deal with reality, deal with life. Live life to its fullest. But find in your life the meaning of it. And the meaning for me or you to live life to its fullest focuses on to live life as for the purpose that God created us. Not for the purpose he created somebody else. You can never, ever be somebody else. But how many people do you know that try to be someone else? That try to parrot other people? Listen, you have original thoughts in there yourself. You say things and you have beliefs and you want to express those. That is your gift from God. Live life the way Christ did. Christ took one step at a time. The interesting thing is, he took a step for me, you, and everybody else at a time. That whatever. Now, Only Christ could ever do that. There could only be one perfect, and that is Christ. So where then and how can I live as Christ lived? I live in His perfection, not mine. I'm born again. I'm saved by the blood of Christ, saved by the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, the blessings that Almighty God has given me was a gift direct from Christ. And Jesus paid for my sin so that I could walk as He walked. Jesus said this. Don't forget it. He said, I have never said anything, not one word, my Father didn't give me to say. So remember, he did not speak on His own. He always spoke on behalf of God the Father. So therefore, if I am to live as Christ lives, then would I not then, as a Christian, speak the way Christ spoke on behalf of Him? If I know something is wrong, I do not have a right to put a little sugar on it and pass it on and say, it'll be okay, when it's not okay. You and I do not have a right to doctor the Word of God and make it say something it's going to keep from hurting people's feelings. Jesus hurt a lot of feelings. Did you know that? Man alive, did He... The Pharisees not only hated Him, from the human standpoint, they had good reason to. And you go, what were they doing? They was trying to tell the Son of God, who wrote the book, what He said in His book. He wrote that the author, God Himself, authors His word, gives it to us. And then these cocky Pharisees, cocky preachers, cocky priests, I don't care who you call them, cocky Christians decide, I'm going to tell Lord. Do you ever hear people quote scripture to Jesus? I told God the other day, I get nervous when people start telling me how they tell God something. When I go in the presence of God, I ain't telling God anything. I am so awesomely aware of who He is that I just appreciate Him allowing me to even open my mouth and mention His holy name without getting zapped. You got that? So we are to walk as Christ walked. Walk in Christ's perfection, not your own, because you ain't that good. I love you, folks, but you ain't that good, okay? Now, first of all, how shall I live in this world? Live with discernment. John 7, verse 24. Don't be nitpickers. I used the Message version on this. I thought you all would get a kick out of this one. Don't be nitpickers, but use your head and heart to discern what is right, to test what is authentically truth. Try the truth. Okay, someone says, okay, God said this. You know how I know whether God said it or not? Then it book. If what they say goes against what's in God's book, God didn't say it. God didn't tell them. Now, God has given me permission to go ahead and just shave your head because He just laid it on my heart that you should have your head shaved. Well, He should have told me because you ain't shaving my head unless I decide it's shaved. But that's the way people are today. Let me tell you, here's what you need to do with your life. What are you talking about? A person who will say that to you is an individual that can't even deal with their own life. I don't know what God's called you to do, but I do know this. I read the book, and He called us. Every one of us have that calling, so respect that. With discernment, don't be nitpickers, but use your head and heart to discern what is right, to test what is authentically truth. I gotta use my head and my heart. I like that. Now think, John the Beloved is saying to me, Larry, if you're going to use your head, that's your brain, then don't try to use it without your heart. How many people do that? I've used my brain many times and didn't have my heart in it. My tongue has used my brain many times, and it started rattling and didn't make any sense at all to me or God or anybody else I was talking to. So in order for us to deal, now you're picking on me again, aren't you? In order for us to deal with reality, it takes your heart and it takes your brain. Mix them together. It needs to be heartfelt. If it's only through the thought process felt, do something with it. Because, you know, our thinking is a little off sometimes. And what I think may not be what you think. And neither one of us may be wrong. And yet both of us might be wrong. You got that? All right. Number two. Live with integrity. Integrity is something that's solid. One monolithic structure. It's solid. It can't be broken. It's solid. Integrity. Matthew 5:13. You are the world's salt to make it tolerable. If you lose your flavor, what will happen to the world? Many people will say that they do not come to church because of the Christians. Think of that. Now, those same people are also using that as an excuse not to come. Okay, you know what I would tell somebody? I don't care whether you come to church or not. I'm with you because I want you to come to Christ. And I'll let Christ tell you what you need to do. I'm not telling you that, and good gracious, don't do that. Don't go up and look at them and say, if you don't come to church, you're going to hell, woman. You don't do that. You might run into a personality just like the one I'm looking at right here. And that ain't dangerous. And that is dangerous, folks. You don't do that. What do? Jesus has told us that we are to live as Christ did. Therefore, I'm to be in the frame of mind that I'm at peace no matter what the situation is. And I mean, and that's a gift from God to get to that point. Whether you're dying of cancer, whether you're dying of this, dying of that, or anything, it don't matter. But to be at peace with your Savior. Now, when you're at peace with your Savior and you got a smile on your face, you know, and people look at you and they say, well, I know you're dying. Yeah, that's something, ain't it? What is wrong with that man? It's not what is wrong with an individual. It's what is right with the individual. Okay, I know this is going to be a news flash for you. Everybody in this room is dying. Yep. Yep, you're going to be out of here. At some point, you're dying. Therefore, the peace that I have with my Christ, with my Savior, makes death to me nothing but pure laughter at it. Because I've read the book and I keep preaching it all the time. I'm a Christian. I can't die. And I know it. And I believe it. So if I have a smile on my face, and I'm not getting cocky with people or anything. Well, I would get cocky with Larry. But I'm not getting cocky with people or any of that. Then that individual is going to say, can you tell me something? What's the reason for your joy when I know what you're going through? Why are you so happy? What did that just do? Did that not just open the door for your testimony about what Christ has done for you? It's not where you went up and slapped the Bible upside. Whoops. I just missed that head. I'm sorry. Slapped the Bible upside somebody's head and said, you will accept Jesus. It was that individual opened the door Why are you so joyful with knowing what you're going through? And that gave you the opportunity to share Christ. And not only did it give you the opportunity to share Christ, it gave you the opportunity to share Christ with somebody that's going to listen to you. Remember when we did faith and we did life and we went out and all, you remember how many people just completely ignored you? You knew good and well that they were ignoring you when you were sharing your faith. You see, they didn't ask us, tell me about what makes you happy. When you ask me that, then you've opened the door and gives me the freedom to step in your door, into your world, but to share the fact about, I know an open truth that has been kept secret from the world, by the world. Jesus is Lord and He's the only one. And He's in control. He's in charge. I'd love to tell you about my Savior and what He did for me. You see, I can't tell Him what He did for you. I'm not in you. You're in you. And Christ is in you. So your personality will relate to the personality God sends your way. That's integrity of spirit. Number three, live with humility. What's the song, Larry? Our favorite song. Yeah, it's just amazing, isn't it? Yes. Y'all remember the song. I know you remember the song.
It's hard to be humble and be perfect in every way. I can't stand to look in the mirror. I get better looking each day.
See, that, and that, that's the world. Oh, I love that when Larry sings it. Do y'all remember when that came out?
I do.
Yeah, that was neat. Some of you acting like, no, I'm too young to remember that one, honey. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Matthew 5:3. God blesses those who realize their need for Him. That's what humility is. Humility is recognize you need Christ. As being, God never told me to humble myself before man. God has always told me, you humble yourself before me and you stand up to man. What did Christ do? Did those Pharisees have Him humbling before them?
No.
Yeah. Jesus did not go to the temple looking for a job. And wanting them to hire Him. Mm-mm. It was His temple. It's His Father. It's His Word. And He went there because He was humble in the presence of God the Father. If Jesus is humble in God's presence, should we not be? Okay. Live with simplicity. Well, a lot of us are pretty simple. Live with simplicity. Luke 12:15. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Boy, you try to tell the secular world that. You try to tell folks in the church that. Oh, but life's a lot easier when you got a lot. Is it? Ask folk who have a lot. And see if they'll tell you that life's a lot easier. And let them enumerate for you all the fears they have. Well, what happens if those investments go bad? I lay up awake half the night worried about my investments. Then I worry about the crooked bankers. Then I worry about the crooked politicians. Well, don't hold your breath until the politicians are no longer crooked and the bankers are no longer crooked. Put your dependence on who Jesus is. You've already got a retirement out of this world. You got it made. You have Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. And we're to live that way in the world, knowing there's more to this than money and possessions. There's love. There's peace. There's harmony. The hardest peace you will find is peace when it's inside yourself. Because you will war with you from the time you can think till the time the brain shuts down. The battle is inside of you. I should have handled that differently. I wish I hadn't said this. Or I wished I'd said that. And then sometimes you just look and say, yeah, I said it. All right. Number five, live with possibility. Anything and everything is possible with God. It always is. Everything is possible for him who believes. That's Mark 9:23. So when people will tell you, you know, it's impossible for you to do this or do that, I got news for you, folks. When you're the child of a king, how many cattle on a thousand hills, Brother Randy? Yeah, he does. He owns the cattle, all the cattle on the thousand hills. Yes. I threw that, what's a curveball to Randy over there. I was trying to, well, I didn't want him dozing off on me. Number six, live with hospitality. We can be hospitable. You know, it wouldn't take much there on hospitality to turn to hostile. Put it. Live with hospitality. Matthew 25:40 and then 45. Whatever you did for any of my people, no matter how unimportant they seemed, remember what Jesus is saying? That might seem unimportant to you, but they're all important to me. You did it for me. And when you failed to help any of my people, no matter how unimportant they seemed, you failed to do it for me. Therefore, be hospitable. Being hospitable with the joy of my salvation is the greatest hospitality that I or you will ever be able to share with someone. The peace that will come with that, the peace that surpasses all understanding, the peace that will bring joy to the broken heart and give encouragement to an individual who feels like a failure. You cannot imagine how many individuals out here feel like they're failures. And somewhere along the line, I'm sorry to say, somebody has told them they are. I knew I had an inmate one time at the Kentucky State Farm Tour at LaGrange. He was in a chapel service. And remember him saying to me, you know, Chaplain Vance, my daddy always said I'd never amount to anything. And then he smiled. He said, I didn't want to disappoint my daddy. Now you think of that. What you said to a child? Oh, you'll never make it. And half of that stuff had to do with adults being angry at each other, taking it out on the kids until the pastor hears about it. Okay. Number six, oh, this is a good one. I like this. Live with civility. That ain't easy either. Just being civil with each other. I mean, good gosh, you deal with life all day long and then you're expected to be civil. How many people were civil with you during the week or when you were out in the public? You want to find out about civility and to really put it into practice, you know how to do it? Get out in heavy traffic in Louisville. And as soon as the light turns green, wait 1 second. And I mean, do you know they're all happy with you because they're all waving their hand at you? Yes, yes, and they, I mean, you can't, 1 second, I think, Gosh, it just turned green. I think I'll put it in park and just get out and walk around and see if I got a flat tire. I don't do that, but that, you know, I know better, especially in Louisville. I ain't doing that. No. Okay. Matthew 5:9. You're blessed when you can show people how to cooperate instead of compete or fight. How do I cooperate? I get out of there. I cooperate by saying, I'm sorry, and I put my foot on the gas. And if they're mean-looking and ugly-looking and got a big rebel flag in the back of their truck, I make my truck go faster. I can really get out of the way real quick because I know what's coming. Or if they have an ISIS flag, I'm moving too. I want you to know that. But think of it. Live with civility. How to cooperate instead of compete or fight. Well, why wouldn't I just get out of the way? Why do I want to sit there and argue, I can't believe you honked your horn at me? And then one thing leads to another. What is wrong with us, folks? Just listen to the horns. And eventually they'll sound like music, surely. Number 8, live with love. Man, take you a while to work that up sometime, doesn't it? The Lord told me I have to love you. But now he didn't say a word about having to like you in the process. So I'll love you. I just don't like you. Yeah, that's right. You've been there. Yeah. Yeah, remember the girl I keep telling you all about that I had at that one revival come back? She hated my guts the whole week. And she let me know after each service how much she despised me. She despised the way I look. She despised the way I preached, and she'd back every night. And Kay and Ron Lewis was the pastor of the church, and Kay just cackling at me because he knew. She called her by name, said, you're going to catch it tonight because of something you said. Somewhere right in the middle of the week, the girl got saved. And I'm ready to cackle back at Kay. Because that girl got saved. She comes out after shaking hands with everybody. I'm standing at the door greeting again. And she says, oh, that was really a great sermon. And to get saved and to have that feeling. But I want you to know I still can't stand you. I thought, okay. You know, I had to give up on that one. And that was when Kay Lewis loves to ag at on with me still to this day. Okay. Live with generosity. Whoops. Did I miss the number 8? Matthew 5:44. I'm telling you to love your enemies. Let them bring out the best in you. It's what the Bible says, people. I'm laughing because I know my nature and you know yours, don't you? When someone gives you a hard time, respond with the energies of prayer. Lord, I lift this individual up to you in prayer. And if they keep at it, I'm going to send them on home where you don't have to, I don't have to lift them. See, the nature of the human being. Think of that. Think of the nature. Our nature is to fight. Our nature is to stand. And Jesus says, if you're going to act like me, Larry, you need to pray. And then people like me said, Lord, I was praying. But I realized that what I was praying for was not exactly what you meant. That's the human part of every one of us. So it doesn't mean you're not Christian or I'm not Christian. It does mean I'm wrong. I've been that way before. And have you all ever been wrong?
No.
Gosh. Any of you ever any of you ever lie? Oh no. No. See, that's why God sent me to this church with this congregation. Right straight out of prison when I. All right. Number 9. Live with generosity. Luke 16:9. Use your worldly resources to benefit others and make friends. The Lord is saying, what I give you, use it for others to make friends. He's not talking about buying friendship. He's talking about helping people. The best friend that you'll ever get, will ever have in your life, will be the friend that is so far down in that ditch of life and hurting, and I mean just broken. That individual, whom you may not have ever really even been close to or known that well, but when that individual looks up and sees you right there beside them, you don't have to say a word. I've told you that before. Just be there. You be there. Then you have just generously given of yourself. Most important thing you can give a child is time. Most important thing you can give your children is your time. Is time to listen. Time to hear what they have to say instead of telling them what they need to do and fussing and all of this. There's a time for correction. But give them the time just to be with you in love. Wouldn't it be great to be with somebody when there isn't something tragic going on? How many times have you heard me say that watching parents when you let kids get in a room and the room gets quiet? And the parents outside the door of all their kids are in that room. They say, shh, don't say anything. It's quiet. Instead of opening the door and thanking the kids for playing nicely with one another, we don't do it. But you let the fight start, the door throws back. And the adults come in the room, all of that stuff going on, going completely wild. But when they're nice, nobody says, I want to thank you, kid, for playing nice tonight, for being the good kid that I know you could be. Well, Larry, in order to do that, I have to break the silence. And, you know, I don't get to hear silence that often with that many kids. Okay, listen to it. Luke 16:9. Use your worldly resources to benefit others and make friends. In this way, your generosity stores up a reward for you in heaven. Now, okay, and now when you get to thinking about this and people say, that's a little selfish of me, isn't it? I'm getting a reward here. So I'm going to be nice for the reward. Remember, what do we do with our crown? What do we do with those rewards when we get to heaven that have been given to us? We take them and lay them at the feet of Jesus. We give them to Him because anything good that comes out of us came from Him. Guaranteed. And number 10, the last one. Live with priority. Set priorities in your life. The priority should be Jesus first. Well, you know, that just sounds so trite. Well, it's not trite. Try it. Then tell me how trite it is. Try it. Put Jesus first. What would Jesus do? Go ahead and say it. I don't really know exactly what Jesus would do, but I know this. I know that Jesus, what He will do in your life when you look at a situation and you have the desire in your heart to do it His way, He will give you direction how to do it His way. And let me say this to the Christians. When you're listening to someone that's sharing with a non-believer or even with a fellow Christian, when you're listening to them and here's something don't do. Don't listen to what they're saying to that individual and then to correct that individual about what they're telling them with the person there. What you would say was, well, I don't believe it should have been said that way. I don't care what you believe. I don't care what you think, how you think I should have said it. I got news for you. That God called each of us as individuals to say things a certain way for a particular other individual that that individual will be able to pick up on. And they can't pick up on what you're getting ready to say. So God sends us to them. That's how important we are as individuals. Matthew 10:39. If your first concern is to look after yourself, you'll never find yourself. You believe that one? Think of that. If your first concern is to look after yourself, you'll never find yourself. How many people do you know that keep saying, I'm leaving home, where are you going? I'm going to go find myself. And not only that, and the pastor is looking at them saying, you know, I don't mean to be rude, but there's a big wall mirror saying, hanging right there beside your door. Why don't you go over and take a look? You don't have to leave to go find yourself. That's a dumb, okay. But if you forget about yourself and look to me, listen to him, you'll find both yourself and me. Now, isn't that a blessing? And it all focuses on, for us, how should I live in this world? And every bit of it's in the book. Call the Bible. It's in the book. Read it. Oh, there's a lot in that book. You're in the book. Your whole life is in the book as an individual. Yes, it is. And everything about you is in that book. And everything in that book guarantees you something. This world is just a twinkle of an eye of your existence. Shoot, you've only begun when you get ready to leave this body. Then the real living begins.